IllbeHonest.com.
Well, the purpose of the gatherings this weekend relate to the ordaining or the setting apart or the official appointment of two men as elders or shepherds or overseers of this flock here. And so what I want to do tonight, I want to talk to you some to give a charge to the flock or to the people of the church. And I know there are a lot here from San Antonio too that this will be applicable to you in terms of a charge to those who are part of the flock there in San Antonio. Tonight then, a charge to the flock. What does God tell you to do as sheep or part of the flock? And then tomorrow, Lord willing, a charge to the shepherds, those that are going to be appointed, officially recognized as shepherds, or pastors is a word that we're used to more, but it's just the word shepherd. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. He says in verse 12, "We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." So the charge here to the flock is to esteem the shepherds very highly in love for their work's sake. And I think we'll see that as we go along, this is one of the clearest or most comprehensive summaries of what the sheep, the attitude that the sheep are to have towards the shepherd. So what are the exhortations that are particularly delivered here to the sheep with regard to our elders? Well, there are two, and they're really the same. First of all, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, that you appreciate them. Now that sounds pretty simple. And then verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly in love. So that's the charge to the sheep, to appreciate these men and to esteem them very highly in love. And the the word translated appreciate here in verse 12, in the margin, literally the word know, and it's kind of a hard word to nail down in the English. Some translations say recognize. I think the New King James says recognize. The King James translates it literally, know them. The idea of acknowledging. NIB says respect. And so showing your appreciation for, acknowledging, respecting, honoring, appreciating, esteeming. In other words, say it another way, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And when we look at that phrase, esteem them very highly in love, the words here are very strong, I'm told, in the Greek. Hold them in the highest regard. In other words, not just some respect, but the very highest respect we're supposed to have for our shepherds. Those whose calling is to look out for our souls, we're supposed to hold them in the very highest respect. So this is quite a statement. And this high esteem in verse 13, that you esteem them very highly, it's not supposed to be some kind of mechanical thing or force thing, but it's a result of love. It's something that flows from a heart of love. Esteem them very highly in love. Think of the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. He's the one that feeds them. He's the one that protects them. He's the one that guides them. He's the one that binds up their injuries and so on. He rescues them. He lays down his life for them. So these things should surely lead to the sweetest type of love relationship. Now, beloved, every one of us here, we have shepherds in some way, people that God has put to help us, to look out over us. And if you want to put it in a nutshell, what God's charge is to you regarding your shepherds, those people that He's put in your life to look out for you and to guide you and lead you, if you want to put it in a nutshell, it's esteem them very highly in love. Isn't that something? Esteem them very highly in love. And I can tell you that if you will esteem your pastors, your shepherds, very highly in love, and have that as your continuing attitude in this place or whatever church that you're in, through the years, many evils will be avoided and many blessings will flow to you if you just esteem your shepherds highly in love. Now, why is it, according to Paul, that we should esteem them very highly in love? Well, he says in verse 13, because of their work, for their work's sake. The reason you do this is because of their work. And I say this is really vital, and I hope that I can get this across, just give you some glimpse into the reason that Paul says this. Most sheep don't have any idea what's involved in being a pastor. They think they do, but they really don't. I can tell you, they really don't have any idea. And if they did know what's involved in just being a true shepherd over the long haul, they would be astounded. If they had any idea of the middle of the night phone calls, the fastings, the tears, the inconveniences, the burdens, the sacrifices, the ingratitudes, the slanders, they would be shocked. Just in the area of slander alone, I marvel. Charles Spurgeon said that he had never read anything in the paper about himself that was true. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just to bear that constant slanders. For years I used to lay carpet. One time my boss called me and he said, "Is it true that you were in Pancake City on Halloween evening casting demons out of the customers?" That's the kind of, where did this come from, you know? I mean, just crazy things. My co-pastor, Dick, they interviewed him on television in relation to abortion and asked him a question. He said, "Well, to answer that question, I have to answer it in two parts. Otherwise, it'll be totally unbalanced. First," and they gave that, "and then second," he gave that this. You know what they did? They cut one of them totally out and put the other one in. And so people that are watching that say, "Look at this guy, you know, what a bigot he is." And that's the kind of stuff that pastors have all the time. We had the college newspaper had our church featured one time with Ku Klux Klan outfits on and our church's name written on the top of their hats. That's the kind of stuff, and I know that goes on down here. But slandering from outside the church, but when it really hurts, inside the church. I had one brother tell me, a pastor of a church in Kentucky, he said, "Every bitter thing has been said from within the church." Amazing. So Paul says, for their work's sake, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. He talks about the burden. Paul talks about the burden that came upon him daily of concern for the churches. He says, who falls into sin? And I don't burn because of that with concern and weighed down. Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Worse than any of his beatings or shipwrecks or any of the things he went through was his burden that came upon him daily for the churches. So in general, we're to esteem these men highly in love for their work's sake. But there are three aspects of this work that Paul particularly brings out. First of all, in verse 12, true shepherds are described as those who diligently labor among you. So this laboring is among the sheep. A true pastor is not someone off in an ivory tower studying the Bible and being holy all day. He's in the lives of the people among you, and diligently laboring among you. A lazy pastor is a contradiction in terms. That's like talking about a heavenly devil. You don't have a lazy pastor. That's impossible. Even in a small body, the responsibilities are overwhelming. There's a constant stream of bereavements and pain and suffering of different types, crisis with children, sicknesses, financial straits that people are going through, personal struggles people have, sin problems, depression, single people struggling with being single, married people struggling with being married. Constant things. Counseling, correspondence. More and more, I find a lot of my time is taken up in correspondence. And it's just, people don't realize that. They don't realize, I mean, some of these letters, Mona read me one today on the way down here. I said, it'd take me 2 or 3 hours to answer that letter properly. I don't know what I'll do. Maybe I'll call the guy. Sometimes that's a lot quicker, but just correspondence, message preparation, personal study. No pastor is going to be healthy who just prepares messages and doesn't ever study the Bible for himself, for his own edification. Being at least a little knowledgeable of all the latest heresies and fads, you've got to learn a little bit to try to help people in some cases. And then the needs of your own family. Now this is something that the sheep ought to be aware of, that the pastor is going to be attacked in his family because Satan hates true pastors, true men of God. And so we need to be praying for these men and their wives and children. I've learned to appreciate over the years pastors' wives. There are some men of God that I've known, and I thought, boy, you know, their wife just really wasn't all that outstanding until I began to realize all the attacks that woman had been under because her husband was so outstanding. And I began to appreciate her more and more and more as time went on. And so just realizing the attacks that pastors' wives are under in their families. These are just some of the diligent labors of a true pastor. Paul talks about laboring earnestly in prayer. So there's a labor. And so when he says, esteem them very highly in love, they diligently labor among you. There's fasting during crisis times. I talked to one pastor's son one time. We were going through some kind of a crisis in the church, and he said, oh yeah, I know what that's like. When that happens in our church, I don't see my dad for a week. He's fasting every day, and he's like somebody hit him in the stomach. that's the reality. Shouldn't such labors cause us to esteem these men very highly in love for their work's sake? There's a man in my life that when I was in college, I was pretty backslidden, not doing very well, and he fasted for me. I don't know how long, but he fasted for me regularly, diligently, until God turned me around. Shouldn't I highly esteem that guy in love for his work's sake? Just think of that. The labor that he invested in my life when he could have easily walked away from me. So just in general, there's much self-sacrifice involved in the labors of a true shepherd. And one of the brothers that's been with us on some of the heart cry trips has had one of his kidneys replaced and all kinds of internal problems. And I've seen him on that plane. You know, you're sitting there in those little cramped seats for 8 or 10 hours, and I've seen him just put his head down on the front seat in front of him in misery. I knew he was suffering. That's just part of what's involved. There are oftentimes sufferings behind the scenes in the labors of a true pastor. John Piper has those biographical sketches. One of them that I particularly like was on the life of Charles Spurgeon, preaching through adversity. And here's this guy preaching these tremendous messages right at the time while he's got in his own family all kinds of sickness. They had that one incident where somebody yelled fire in the midst of the big crowd and several people were killed. He almost lost his sanity. That thing weighed on him so heavily. And meanwhile, you've got to go ahead and keep preaching through all of that. And so these are some of the things. When you hear a message that helps you deeply in some trial, I mean, you're going through a terrible hard time, and your pastor comes out with a message that just meets the need in that trial, I'll guarantee that that message did not come out of thin air. That came out of the furnace of affliction that God allowed him to go through so that he'd be able to say something that would feed the sheep at that time. That's just the way God does it. There's a hymn that Vance Abner quotes, or a poem. It says, "Many a rapturous minstrel among the sons of light will say of his sweetest music, I learned it in the night. And many a rolling anthem that fills the Father's throne sobbed at its first rehearsal in the shroud of a darkened room." And that's the reality behind any kind of messages that are going to help you when you're in agony were born by God helping the man that gave that message when he was in agony. Those things, that's just the way it is. So Paul says, death works in us, but life in you. Well, we ought to esteem them for their many labors in season and out amidst all kinds of trials. They diligently labor among you. Second reason that we ought to esteem them highly in love is because they have charge over you in the Lord. Verse 12. We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate, know, recognize those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord. Shouldn't this be a reason to esteem them in love? God has chosen this man or these men to look after your soul. Now just think of that. Paul says in Acts 20, over whom the Holy Spirit made you overseers. If you have a true shepherd, it's somebody that God gave you, the Holy Spirit made them your overseer to look after you, to have charge of you in the Lord. And Paul, Lord willing, we'll look at this more tomorrow, but Paul exhorts those elders. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock over which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, because savage wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock. Savage wolves. We've been a couple times to the Denver Museum, and I've seen those wolves up close. You know, they have them stuffed. And we have a pretty good-sized German Shepherd, but he's nothing compared to a real wolf. And Paul says, savage wolves are going to be inside the church. They're going to get in and be let loose for a time, not sparing the sheep. And so, what a blessing to think of God putting men in charge over you, having charge over you in the Lord to be on guard and to protect you from savage wolves. Hebrews 13 this is the exhortation concerning those who have charge of us in the Lord. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So they watch for your souls. They have charge over you in the Lord. So, again, another reason to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. And when you do esteem them highly in love, this matter of obeying and submitting will be taken care of. And then the third reason, why should we esteem them highly? Well, they give you instruction or admonition in the Lord. Who else would love you enough? Instead of talking about you, they come to you and directly confront you with the sin or need in your life. That's a reason to esteem somebody highly in love. If they care enough to come to a person's door, knowing full well that that person doesn't want to see them, and will be angry when they see them, and might even do something violent with when they see them. It's not an easy thing to do. I've been a pastor for, well, I guess Dan was saying, I came there in 74, so 37 years. During that course of time, there have been many times when I came to a door to talk to somebody that I knew they hated the idea of me knocking on that door, and they did not want me to talk to them in the least. And I remember the phrase going through my mind many times, "Here, Lord, I give myself away. It is all that I can do." I mean, that's it. But shouldn't I? I mean, there was a man that, again, when I was a college student, he came to my door and knocked on my door when I didn't want him to. And I remember there were times when I locked my door because I knew that I wasn't right in my heart. And he was pursuing, you see, pursuing, admonishing me in the Lord. So far from resenting admonition, we should be filled with gratitude for anybody that loves us enough to admonish us. David says in one of the Psalms, "Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Let not my head refuse it." Well, in light of their work, diligently laboring, having charge of us in the Lord and being willing to admonish us, we ought to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, just in closing here, the question comes up, what can we do in practical terms to show that esteem and honor for our elders, our pastors, and act it out? Three things. I'm sure there's a lot more, but these are three that come to my mind. First of all, believe the best about them. Give them the benefit of the doubt for at least having basic integrity. Now, it's amazing how much this comes up, but at least believe that they have basic integrity. I know knew a very godly pastor from Canada who's gone to be with the Lord now. Ministered in this church for many, many years, faithfully. One of the godliest men I've ever known. His wife died, and after a few months, he felt like maybe the Lord was directing him to this godly woman who had been a widow, maybe she was single for many, many years. And so he took her out for a meal so they could talk. Somebody saw him. One of the couples that had been in that church for many years, they didn't go to him. No, they wrote to someone that he knew down in the States and said, "Please pray for our pastor. He is in deep sin." They didn't know anything about it. He hadn't done anything. And he told me later, he said, "I felt like just throwing in the towel." Because he's poured out his life for these people for 30, 40 years. And they don't even believe he has basic integrity. It's amazing. Well, you can imagine how painful that must have been. Now, I say this comes up in any area, in many areas. Somebody, you're feeling kind of prompted, to give Brother So-and-so a gift, but you don't really know if he's scraping the bottom yet. You know, you've got to be confident. He's got to be on his last dollar. Suppose you gave him $100 more than he needed. Don't you believe he would have basic integrity to use that $100 for something worthwhile, you see? That's just believing, basic integrity. Many situations in the church come up where you have to give your pastors, your shepherds, the benefit of the doubt. In the area of church discipline, many times in the area of church discipline, I can say all this stuff because I came from a different state, but many times in church discipline, you've got a group of people here, they said, they were too soft. They were way too soft on this issue. You should have done such and such. You should have done so and so. And then there's the other group over there that said, "Boy, that was way too harsh. You were way too harsh with that person. If you only knew what they were going through." And you see what that, it's just not putting trust in your pastor when he knows a lot more about the situation. We had one time where somebody was grumbling about, "Why don't they let so-and-so do more special music? Well, they didn't realize that he had had a bad, bad fall right before that. We're not going to have him doing special music. So trust, you know, trust in the basic integrity of the shepherds. Many things behind the scenes that you don't know. Give them the benefit of the doubt in the area of experience. They're called elders because they have had more experience. You know, it's amazing. Believe it or not, in many cases, the elders really do know more than you do. They really do in many cases. And they have had experience in some areas. And I thought of this idea. Suppose I go into the oral surgeon. I've got these wisdom teeth that are impacted. And he says, yeah, we've got to do such and such with this. We're going to have to put you under and that. And we're going to have to cut in through the bone. And if you don't get this taken care of, you're going to have such and such. I said, hold it, doc. That's not right. I don't like the. I disagree with the way you said we should do that. I think we ought to do such and such. What do I know about it? See, I don't know anything about it. Many times, you'd be amazed at some of these things if I told you individual stories. But you have warnings about this in Scripture. You have men like Korah. They said all of the congregation is holy. What are you guys doing? You know, all the congregation's holy. And it's just a problem of pride. Giving the pastors the benefit of the doubt in the area of things like special meetings. They think, we feel like we ought to do such and such. Oh, another meeting? I don't think we need that. And see, there's this attitude of not esteeming highly in love for their work's sake. So, in summary, don't listen to the slanders of the devil toward your pastor. You come into the meeting and, oh, he didn't say hi to me. You know, he's so unfriendly and, you know, all this, all those are slanders. Those are things where Satan is trying to separate you so that you don't listen to and don't submit to your pastor. I'm going to have to see if I can find my notes here now. All right. Secondly, the first one is give him the benefit of the doubt. Secondly, talk to them, not about them. Talk to them, not about them. If you want to play directly into the hands of demonic powers, just sit around talking with other people in the church about your pastor's, quote, needs. We need to pray for brother so-and-so because of such and such. That's how, you know, it's very spiritual sounding. And what it is just a sanctified type of gossip. And so you say, we need to pray for brother so-and-so, you know, it's the opposite of esteeming highly in love. If someone comes to you and starts criticizing your pastor or pastors, the thing to do is say, hold it, you're talking to the wrong person. You need to go to them and talk to them, and if you don't do it, I'm going to go to them and talk to them about what you told me. So that encourages them greatly to get it taken care of. And that's the thing to do. It's so good because when people come and talk directly to you, then there's the opportunity. See, we are not enemies of each other. We have a common enemy who's trying to separate us and destroy it. And yeah, your pastors have got lots of needs, and so do you. But we're all in it together. And we got to realize that Satan is the one that's trying to separate us out and destroy us. And so you go to your pastor, you talk to him about it, and it's amazing how fast those walls come down. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And if he's a man of God, he will be approachable. The wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, easy to be entreated, and he'll listen to you. Third thing you can do to show your high esteem and love for your pastor is to walk with God yourself. I have repeatedly found that those who are walking the closest with God are the most gracious and thankful and just overflowing with thanksgiving for the pitiful job that I'm doing as a pastor, because they're walking with God themselves. And it's almost even to a fault. They're so grateful towards their pastors. But it's when you're defeated yourself that you start becoming critical of your pastors. It's always, I've seen this repeated, I can tell you this truth. It is always the most joyless person in the church that's complaining. We don't have any joy in this church. And that's true. It's always the most self-centered person who does nothing for anybody else, never thinks of anyone else. They're complaining because nobody pays any attention, nobody does anything for me. But they're not doing anything for anybody else. So it's really their problem that is manifested coming back. It's always the person with the least reason to be proud that is struggling the most with pride. It's always that way. You know, you remember the centurion that sent for Jesus? They came to Jesus and said, he's worthy. This guy is really worthy because he's done so many things for us and so on. So what happens whenever Jesus gets near to the house, the centurion says words, says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm not even worthy to talk to you. See, the ones who are worthy don't feel like they're worthy. And this is true in so many areas. So walk with God yourself. Talk to them, not about them. And these are the things that will show, and just believe the basic integrity of your pastor. And these are things that will show in practical ways your esteem for them. I just want to say one disclaimer in closing. These things relate to true men of God. There's a lot of false teachers around that, you know, they'll try to make some big thing out of you've got to submit to me, and there's all kinds of abuse of all this stuff. But if you've got a true man of God, you can do these things, and it's a difference of whether he's a hireling or whether God has put him over you. If God's put him over you, and the Holy Spirit has called him to be your overseer, he is going to be setting an example of love himself. There's a tendency for the flesh to want to have a pope over them. And you have Paul there in one place. He says, if somebody hits you in the face and does all kinds of things to you, you bear with that gladly. And people will, there's a tendency of the flesh to do that. The true pastor, true man of God, is glad when he sees people making their own decisions and not dependent upon him all the time. And so a true shepherd is someone who's going to be trying to get you on your feet so you don't have to come to them on everything and get their authoritative pronouncement on what you're supposed to do. So again, all of these things that I'm talking about, I'm not talking about submitting to false prophets. I'm talking about when God has put someone in your life, you're confident that you're supposed to be in a church and that this person's walking with God, then you should esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, that's all I have along this line. Amen.